This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
So, welcome to Under the Influence.
Good start.
Okay. Welcome to Under the Influence.
Over the Influence.
Hello and welcome to Over the Influence. Over the Influence. This is an alcohol-free podcast. I'm Sharon Hartley. I am 46 years old. I live in Lancashire, which is in the northwest of England. I'm married, a mum to three children, and I no longer drink. With me is Freddie.
Hi, I'm Freddie. I'm 37 and I live in Liverpool in the northwest of the UK. I'm a dad. I've got two boys, aged 5 and 7, and I'm married to Sarah. And I am unbelievably coming up to 1 year alcohol free. If you asked me this time last year if I'd be able to do that, I would have said hell no. But I'm excited to be here and I can't wait to start this next step of the journey.
Okay, so first question, what on earth is Over the Influence? What on earth are we doing sitting here recording, talking about not drinking? As Freddie just touched on then, you know, rewind more than a year in my case when I was a daily drinker, a big drinker, and the same with Freddie, I think it's fair to say. Why on earth we want to record and talk about this? From my point of view, the amount of questions, you know, that I still get asked about, why are you not drinking? Why did you stop drinking? When are you going to start drinking again? And I think it's just fantastic and what an opportunity to open up the discussion about not necessarily removing alcohol completely from life, from day-to-day life, but it's about trying life without alcohol, reducing alcohol intake and knowing that there are options out there, and also that life, incredibly, still goes on. And guess what? It's still really good, if not better.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think certainly when I started to think about changing my relationship with alcohol and stopping drinking, there's so much out there that talks about alcohol being bad and how you can never drink again and how you've got to stop doing all those fun things. I think that is absolute rubbish. And like you said, Shazza, so many people come up to me and they say, well, first, when I say I've stopped drinking, they start laughing. And then when they stop laughing and realize that I'm actually being serious, they're like, actually, how do you do this? Because there is so much pressure in society. Alcohol is so ingrained in everything we do in terms of our social activities, everything in terms of birthdays, weddings, christenings, funerals, everything revolves around drinking. And people think you've either got to be hitting it hard and living your best life and partying and drinking, or you've totally got to stop and live this dull, grey, boring existence. But it doesn't have to be like that. And that's why, you know, Shazza, we've been talking for ages about this, and that's why we've brought Ben in as well. It's about helping people to realise there is another way. It's not about ending your life or being boring or anything like that. It's about just doing things differently. And once you start doing that and realizing you don't have to go and live in a cave and become a monk and everything else, then you can do things differently. And I think, and I hope, that's what we're going to do in terms of spreading that message around the world and help people understand, you know, life's a game, but we can all change that game and live our best lives.
So this isn't just myself and Freddie banging on about alcohol-free life. It's really important that we look at all angles of life without alcohol, with a reduced alcohol intake. Some people still drinking. You know, it's whatever works for you. Interestingly, we've got Ben here with us, our producer, Background Ben. I do like that name. Do you not mind being in the background?
No, I like being in the background. I like listening.
It's better than Back Alley Ben, which has a totally different connotation.
That was 10 years ago. That was when I was drinking a lot more.
So Background Ben, it's the year 2020, and yeah, those numbers are of particular significance to you. Just explain why.
So I'm not giving up drinking completely, but I've chosen 20 days in the whole year where I can have a drink. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to get absolutely bladdered on those days, but it's like a stag do I've got to go on, or my brother's 30th birthday. So it's essentially cutting out the unnecessary beers for me. The amount that I've already cut down and how different I feel just by reducing is unbelievable.
I totally agree. And I think one thing that I really want to do with this podcast is be totally honest with people, because there's so much crap out there, and there's so much, you know, you've either got to be this or you've got to be that, or you've got to put yourself in this box where you drink or a different box where you don't drink. And what we really want to do, which I don't believe anyone has really done before, which is really tell it how it is and be honest with people. And even though I'm, you know, I'm coming up to my first anniversary of being alcohol free, I can't sit here to everyone yet and have my hand on my heart and say, I hate alcohol, I'm never going to drink again.
Yeah.
I can say I'm not going to drink in the near future because my life has changed so much for the better, and I, quite frankly, don't want to go back to that old way of living. I don't want to have that old Freddy. But it is about talking to people honestly and in terms of real life and saying it how it is. And that's how we can hopefully communicate with people and help them to see that there is another way.
So this is our first episode of Over the Influence. Let's pick up on firsts. When was the first time, Freddie, or what prompted you to say, you know what, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop drinking alcohol. I'm going to make a change. At what point did that happen for you?
I'm glad you clarified the whole thing about first and alcohol, because I thought we were talking about first other things, which could have been taking this podcast in a whole different direction.
Stay focused.
So, you know what? The first thing, I had 1,000 firsts before the proper first. I had 1,000 times when I said to myself, and we've all been there, like the Sunday morning when the room's spinning and you've got your head down a toilet and you're like, right, this is it. I'm going to stop drinking now. And everyone kind of laughs. And then you say, yeah, no more drinking. And then we're going to go to the pub. And I'm just going to have one. And then I'm going to be definitely having my first alcohol-free day the day after. And it doesn't happen. But for me, I think it was a Thursday morning, and in my previous corporate life, it was the sort of work hard, play hard culture where you're working in an office, and then you're going out with your teammates or your clients or whoever, and I loved that life. It was great. You'd be in the bar watching the football with your mates, still drinking, and then I woke up on a Thursday morning with a killer hangover, and I just thought, this isn't how I want my life to go. And I've got, like everyone does, I've got these hopes and dreams and goals. And I told myself that 2019 was going to be a big year for me. And again, like in terms of firsts, we're all there with the New Year's resolutions around this is how brilliant life's going to be for me. And I'd got to March 2019 and I thought, hang on, you're lying to yourself here. You talk about living this amazing life and having no regrets, and but here you are once again, hungover, not able to do your job properly, grumpy with your family, not sleeping properly, putting weight on. And I thought, no, I need to make a proper change. So that was why on the 8th of March, I said, right, this is going to be a proper first for me. I'm going to take a big break from alcohol. And to be honest, I was terrified. I was just like, hell, am I actually going to do this? Because all my persona and my personality and everything revolved around drinking. They say in life, it's great if you can find something that you're passionate about and that you're great at. And for me, that was drinking. Like I loved it and I was really good at it. And from an early age, I sort of found I had this talent for, you know, being the first person in the bar and the guy that got the shots in and the guy that was the life and soul of the party. And that was brilliant. But then I thought, I don't want this life anymore. I want something different. And that's why I had to make that change. And that's why that day one for me, that first alcohol-free day, was momentous. But bloody hell, it was scary as well.
And I think what you said there, that the first don't happen overnight immediately, do they?
No.
You know, for myself, I've taken a run-up at this several times. I've done, you know, dry January. I'm going to nail it. I'm going to do it this time. This is the time I'm going to stop. Come February, back on it. Sober October, I'm going to do it. This is it. It's going to be my first. You know, I'm going to nail this year. I'm going to do sober October and then carry it on. First November, I can't remember November, into drunk December, back to the beginning again. But I think once you've made that decision and once you've committed and gone, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm a bit bored with this. Let's just give it a real go and take that jump into doing it seriously. and yeah. properly and without compromise, I think that's when things start to change. And, you know, fast forward for me, 500 odd days, that's what's brought me here today, sitting, recording a podcast about not drinking. You know, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work, but I think it takes a real commitment at first to get that first step under your belt.
I think you're totally right in terms of that commitment, because when I flirted, let's say, with the alcohol-free life, but I always gave myself an excuse. I'd be there saying, right, I'm going to have this first day, but hang on, it's my mate's birthday in a couple of weeks' time, or it's someone's wedding.
Yeah, there's always a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like, or it's a Sunday, or it's a Monday, or something good's happened, or something bad's happened. It would always be an excuse. And as we'll learn on this podcast, I love to come up with a few phrases. And one of my phrases for this was, if you want to leave your house and start a journey, you never wait until all the traffic lights are green before starting. You just have to go. Yeah. And there's never going to be a perfect time. And that's the thing you have to just tell yourself and accept. There's never a perfect time to have your first alcohol-free day. You've just got to go and do it and take that leap of faith and tell yourself that you are going to be able to get through it. And the rewards, be they short-term or long-term, they are going to be amazing.
I remember my first day on this journey, and it was a Monday. And I think it was about Monday, the 2nd or 3rd of September 2018. So it was the day the kids went back to school, having been off all summer. And I'd been to Ibiza with the family for my brother's 40th. Mm. And, you know, well,
that's Ibiza for you, isn't it?
That's Ibiza for you. So I wasn't going to go sober in Ibiza, I can tell you now. And I remember the Sunday before my first day, it was an afternoon drinking sesh. And it began at 2 o'clock in the afternoon where I live, around the pubs. It was a beautiful sunny day. And it ended badly in a friend's back garden on that Sunday evening. And I was just, I was just crying for no particular reason. It was one of those drunk, and I woke up that Monday morning looking like a corpse. Yeah. I looked like I'd been dug up. And that was it. That was my first day. And that's when, for me, I say it ended, that's when this whole journey began. And I am forever grateful for that killer hangover.
And it's scary, like, because there's the positive first, but there's also the, I'm not going to call it warning signs, because I think something else with this podcast, we're not going to go down the whole doom and gloom route. I'm very happy to be honest, but there, you know, it's like when you're a teenager and the first time you're sick because you've drunk too much, or the first time you have a 2-day hangover, or in my case, the first time you had a gun put to your head by a drug dealer, and all these little things, or the first time you missed a flight, or the first time you locked yourself out of your hotel room naked, and all these things that you kind of laugh about. And then you think, right, crikey, that was, you know, that was a big no-no. Yeah. Definitely cannot do that again. But then you sort of find yourself in a similar situation. Haven't had a gun pointed at me more than once.
I'm really pleased to hear that.
Yeah, so am I, funnily enough. But, you know, there are these things where you think you get these little things in the back of your head. And I think anyone that's listening to this podcast may or may not have it. There'll be something in there, not even necessarily saying, oh, crikey, I need to give up alcohol forever. But there is something there that we all tend to get that says,
definitely,
maybe you should do something a little bit different. Maybe you should cut back a bit. Maybe there's a few things in your life that aren't quite going as you think they should do. And maybe that might be linked to alcohol. And that's horrible to admit that to yourself, because I was happy to blame anything. I blame my family. I blame the kids. I blame the government, the weather, anything else. All these terrible things, but definitely not my alcohol.
Not you and your choices.
No, I'm perfect. Pass me another beer. And but so when you start to take that first honest look at yourself, and that's really where you can grow and where you can develop. So we know this episode is all about firsts, and one of the biggest first hurdles to overcome is your first alcohol-free social occasion. Shazza, do you remember yours?
Like it was yesterday. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. Just going back to what you mentioned before, Freddie, about there never being a right time. When I started my alcohol-free journey, there was parties. There's always something going on at weekend. I had a wedding, a christening, my son's 18th. There was all this stuff happening. But it was a case of, well, I either do this or do it half-assed, and I refuse to do anything half-assed. So this was it. My first social occasion with friends was, it was a house party. And it was going to be a boozy do, obviously. So I took my little bottle of, you can get, what's it called? Nosecco. So fake Prosecco. Took it in a gift bag, had it in the corner of the kitchen, swigged on that all night. It was fine. I felt a little bit odd, a little bit weird, a little bit out of things. But I survived and nobody died and it was okay. Mm. 2 weeks after that, I was invited to a friend's wedding. And I told my friend that was getting married that I wouldn't be drinking. And I think it's safe to say she lost her mind. And she was like, but we were bringing in extra gin for you. You cannot come to this wedding and not drink.
It's like the guilt trip, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think, it's funny, it was... like people would turn, you think people would turn around and they'd be like, oh, I'm so pleased you're not drinking. Like, I'm so happy for you. I'm going to help you on this journey. Like, that's crap. People turn around to you and say, what's wrong with you? You're not drinking. Yeah, hang wrong? On. Like, you know, do you need to get some, like, some support or something? Yeah. Or why aren't you drinking? What's
and
wrong?
She didn't believe for a minute that I could possibly come to her wedding and enjoy it. Mm. But when I said to her, actually, no, I'm really serious about this. Please, just drop it. I can bring my own alcohol-free, you know, options if needed. And I think then when she got the fact that I was serious about this, I remember going to the wedding and where they had a beautiful alcoholic punch. There wasn't an alcohol-free punch just for me. Mm. We got to the bar for reception drinks and there was all the cocktails and she'd gone to the trouble of making alcohol-free options just for me. Mm. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done, but it turned out to be one of the best weddings I'd ever been to. And she came full circle and was so supportive and pulled out all the stops. And as a friend, that was brilliant for me. You know, it was superb. And at the end of the night, I remember I was the taxi. I was like, right, I can take you home because you're very, very drunk. Mm. And it was brilliant. And I sober danced and no, I didn't sober laugh. I just laughed my rocks off all night and we had the best time. So what was a really scary first big social situation turned out to be probably one of the turning points for me, knowing actually I can do this sober. Don't That's need awesome. Alcohol to have fun. And it was so good. What about you?
I wish I could say it was something quite as deep and meaningful. My first was, I think, a barbecue that was for like a friend's 40th birthday. My first was mainly based on lies. Because you know you get some people and and with the alcohol-free journey, some people like love it and they're there, they're flying the flags, they're shouting from the rooftops, they've got the t-shirts and everything else. I was quite different. Like I was quite, well, I was really nervous about it. And as I've said, it was because so much of my life and my personality was based around alcohol.
Were you Funtime Freddy?
I was Funtime Freddy.
You were Funtime Freddy. Did exist.
Even when Funtime Freddy was not feeling very Funtime whatsoever, I was like, I don't want to drink, but I have to because people are expecting that. So yeah. Suck it up and get that first drink down you. And so this first event, I didn't tell people I was making, you know, a big change in my life. I just thought, right, I'm going to have to lie here and white knuckle it. So I'd be getting a couple of bottles of alcohol-free beer, pouring them into a pint glass so it looked like a pint of beer. And I'd just be kind of like supping on that. And to be honest, it wasn't the most sensible approach,
but it
got
work?
Me through. Yeah, it got me through. And, you know, but you had to do that thing when, you know, around sort of like 10:30, 11 at night when everyone's like, oh my God, I'm so wasted. And I'd be there going, oh yeah, yeah, me too. Like, woohoo! Yeah, I'm feeling it now. When really I was like popping to the toilet every 5 minutes because I'd drunk like 10 bottles of alcohol-free beer. And then I think it was, yeah, it must be the weekend because my oldest boy was still up and I'd sort of created this whole thing around, yeah, Funtime Freddy still here on my alcohol-free beer. And then my little boy ran up and he was like, Daddy is alcohol-free.
Brilliant.
And like, brilliant. You could have heard like a pin drop in the room. It's like I kicked a cat or something. Everyone just stopped what they were doing and in slow motion just all turned to look at me. And they were like, what did he just say? And I'm like, yeah, look, you know, I'm not drinking at the moment. And I say it wasn't big, it wasn't sensible, but I'm telling you how it is. And I think if you need to be economical with the truth to get you through that first social occasion, then why not?
You
know,
if it works for you, you've just got to go with it, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done the whole like I'm on antibiotics. I've got a big work thing. I've got some sort of race coming up. I think whatever excuse you need to do, and again, you know, this isn't the official how it should be advice, but for me and what worked, it was just saying whatever I had to say to be able to get through that first event alcohol-free, because it's all about growing your confidence.
And yeah, completely.
The way you grow confidence is by putting yourself out of your comfort zone, doing these situations again and again and again to grow that inner strength. And now I'm quite proud to say, look, you know, that's just the way it is.
And that comes with time, doesn't it? And
yeah, definitely.
Have you experienced that again, or was it just that one hellish time?
It was. I mean, that was that one hellish time. And then I had the bigger event. I think it was a wedding as well, but I was being a bit more open about not drinking. And you still had people coming up to you, and you get that thing where you say, right, I'm not drinking at the moment. And people say, yeah, that's okay. But you can still do shots, can't you?
Yeah.
Because that's not really alcohol. And there was that first time when I was more open about it. And people were like, once they realised I was serious. And you do get a bit of a good feeling about it when people say, oh, actually, you know, because
not everybody's dismissive, are they?
No.
I think it's really important to say, there's a lot of support for you socially, isn't there? When you're brave enough to actually say, you know what? No, I'm just not drinking for the time being.
Yeah.
Not everybody shoots you down.
No, definitely not. And yeah, there are tactics you can use, like you say, like you can bring your own alcohol-free drinks. When I first went through this alcohol-free journey, I thought at the start, right, I'm going to have just to white-knuckle it. I'm going to have to develop an addiction to Diet Coke and Fanta. And then you go to websites like drydrinker.com and you start to see the wide range of alcohol-free drinks. Yeah,
it is mind-blowing. You can still be a grown-up when you go to these parties, which I think is so important. You're not, like you say, you're not nursing your can of Diet Coke in the corner.
No, exactly. I say to people, like, I still drink beer, I still drink. It's just the number on the bottle has changed. And now that number on the bottle doesn't say 5% or 6%, or, you know, if you're like me, you'd be looking down the supermarket aisles trying to find that bottle of wine with the biggest alcohol
14.
Percentage. Yep, 40. Oh, I found a 16.5 that I loved. But you know, I still drink, but now the number on my bottle just says zero. Or if I'm going crazy, it just says 0.5.
Excellent.
And that's the way I roll now. And you know what? After you get through those first events, when you can come out of the alcohol closet and be like, yep, I'm out and proud for my alcohol-free beer. And then, and also,
it takes balls to do that.
I know.
It takes balls. It really does.
And you know what? I also find, like, we get so worried about, a lot of it's in our heads. Like, at any wedding or party, by 10 o'clock at night, like, people don't care.
When they're three drinks in, nobody's bothered what you're doing at all. But it's that initial, isn't it, that when you first arrive, or it's just that awkward, you know, I would have a couple before any party or any social event, a couple just to warm me up at home.
Oh, yeah, like beer in the shower. Like,
obviously.
That's got to be... Ben, have you ever beered in the shower?
Yeah, in Vegas. That was one of my favourite things to do, actually.
Nice.
Have a beer in the shower.
How does that work?
You get a beer and then you have a shower.
Right, okay. I've never done it. We're just going to take a short break during this episode of Over the Influence and politely ask for your help. If you're enjoying what you're listening to and you'd maybe like to help us out, because as you know, listening to podcasts is free, but there are some production costs involved in terms of marketing and setup, go to the website soundrebel.co.uk/overtheinfluence and click on that great big button on the website that says buy us an alcohol free beer. It's just a case of putting a couple of quid in the pot, which would help us towards our production costs, and would be very, very grateful for any assistance you might be able to offer.
Yeah, we love doing this. We hope you're loving it as well. If you're able to head over to that website, hit the button that says buy us an alcohol-free beer, and that will give us a small contribution towards our costs so we can keep going on this journey.
Back to the episode.
Despite starting this podcast talking about total honesty, and as part of that, I've just admitted being like a liar to all my friends, which is, I'm not a liar these days, obviously. But Shazra, have you got any more sensible tips for people that are just starting out on that alcohol-free journey?
For me, and this goes against everything you've just said, Freddie, I found that honesty has been the best policy. You know, I've not felt the need to say to somebody, I'm on antibiotics, or, you know, I've got a really severe problem, I need to stop drinking. I've just told people, as it is, you know what? I've been drinking for so long, too fast, too much, too often. And now, for the time being, I'm having a break from alcohol. So once I've put that out there, people know that I'm not drinking. But you still get the odd person, you know, invariably they're drunk, by the way. I had a friend take me to one side at, twice this person has done it now. Can I have a quick word? Yeah, of course you can. No problem. What is it? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You're not drinking. There must be a problem. No, there really isn't a problem. Yeah. I'm good. I'm really good. And it just prompts various reactions in different people. But I still stand by it that for me, honesty is the best policy. And I think you've got to do what works for you.
Yeah.
That worked for you. Fantastic, Freddie. Yeah. You know, no problem whatsoever. For me, I've just said, I'm done with alcohol for the time being. Just please leave me to it. Mm. You know, how else can you prepare for these events?
So I've got one in terms of like, you know, it's a little bit life coachy, and I'm not going to go down the whole like life coachy motivation route because there's people in California with much better Botox and much better teeth than me. But I think for me, it's about getting it straight in your head why you're doing this. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you have to be hitting rock bottom and losing everything and waking up on a park bench, but you do have to have a reason. Because if you just say to yourself, well, I feel like I should give up alcohol, so I'm just going to try and do it and sort of try and white knuckle it. It'll work for a bit, but because, you know, I do know a bit about like psychology and behavior change, and that doesn't tend to work. And that's why I'd failed so many times in the past, because I was like, yeah, you feel a bit crap. I'm going to try and stop drinking, but then I know that'll make me feel good again. So the real game changer for me was working out why. And it was essentially, I wanted that new life more than that old life. And that's when it becomes more of an instinctive decision. It's, you know, it's not there saying, oh, I've got that temptation. And if you can just tell yourself, you know, whether it is you want to run a marathon or do better at work or be more present with your kids or just lose some weight and be healthier.
Or just see a Sunday morning.
Yeah, exactly. Like any of those things. Yeah, totally. And any of those things, having that goal in your head. So that makes you think, I am not drinking today because, or I'm choosing to drink alcohol-free beers today because, and if that because is because I sort of feel like I should, it might not work. But if you have that goal and that why in your head, and it doesn't have to be big and scary, but it's just something that's important to you, and that helps you decide. It's almost like you've got that crossroads in front of you, and you can take that path that you've always taken, or you can take that path towards your goal and your dreams and living that life that you want to live. And for me, that was the real game changer.
I'll just jump in there, Freddie, and say that talking about doing what works for you, in my early days, in those first few weeks, I actually hibernated a little bit, and I said no quite a lot to invites. And if that's what it takes, if that's going to make it easy for you, do that. One thing I would really, really suggest is that you don't go to the pub. It sounds really obvious, but if you're trying to change your relationship with alcohol, cut it out or cut it down, a pub surrounded by drunk friends maybe encouraging you isn't going to be the best place to go. So if you need to say no, don't be scared of doing that, because you're doing this for you, really, and nobody else.
That's a good point. Like, I really struggled with that. Like I say, if my whole personality was revolved around it, and there was that worry about, you know, my friends aren't going to talk to me anymore. If I say I'm not going to be at a party, then people aren't, you know, they're going to cut me out and they're going to...
Boring Freddie.
I'll have like a big red X painted on my front door. And then, you know what? Actually, it's not that bad. All these things, you build them up in your head and it's not that bad at all. You just say, you know what, guys, I'm not coming out tonight. I've got other stuff on, or whatever you want to say. But once you make that first decision to start saying no to a few things, then saying no to alcohol is a lot easier as well.
It's fair to say when you jump into this at first, my God, it is difficult. Let's not, you know, skirt around that. It is really, really hard. And for me, it was the first 5 or 6 weeks. But then you've got to weigh that up with the benefits of not drinking or cutting down alcohol or removing alcohol. And for me, I found pretty much within the first... Well, I was a daily drinker, so I noticed the benefits straight away. Sleep. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Glorious sleep.
Like teenager level of sleep.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable.
But things like time, waking up fresh, weekends doubled in size because you're no longer either hungover or looking at the clock thinking, when's it acceptable to drink on a Saturday, 4 o'clock, because it's early doors. It's these small wins in the beginning, I think, that are so important, Freddie. You must have benefited from this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I still remember now that first Sunday morning, waking up with a clear head, like, I was like a machine. I was like the Terminator of household chores that day. I was like 6:30 on Sunday morning. I was like, what is this strange time? Like, the birds are singing and the sun's shining. And I was just like, bang, ironing, dishwasher, house clean, kids fed. And I was like, wow, I feel like a superhero. And to be honest, that's still my biggest thing. Like, now I love Sunday mornings where, yeah, you know, it wasn't that long ago, I'd still be going on a Sunday morning. And, you know, some people may have been there where you're in that lounge with your friends with the curtains shut and it's 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and you think, where's the last 18 hours just gone? But now, and I never thought I'd say this, but Sunday mornings now are so fulfilling and so refreshing, and it just builds your confidence. And like I said, I'm not being evangelical about it and saying I'm out there hiking the hills, talking to the animals with like a little sparrow coming and landing on my hand or something. Like, even if it's just like sitting on the sofa watching a movie with your kids, yeah, and not feeling like you're going to die.
It's being there, isn't it? Yeah. It's just being present, yeah, as opposed to just being a bit foggy, a lot below par.
Definitely. And that was a massive, big first win. Bank balance has got to be another one.
Like, Yes.
I was burning a lot of money on alcohol. It wasn't just that. Then it'd be the next day when you think, I can't be bothered to cook, so let's go and get a takeaway. Yeah. Or it'd be your taxi at 4 a.m, or, you know, the hungover or drunken Amazon shopping, and then, you know, you wake up and 15 vacuum cleaners turn up and you're like, what are they doing here? And so I think bank balance is something that you see as well. So actually, in those, even after that first weekend, I was like, hang on, my bank balance isn't saying minus 100, it's just saying zero, which is quite a victory for me. So I think, yeah, having that bit of extra cash to spend on what you want is, you know, really makes a difference.
I've got to say as well, I mean, this isn't great for a podcast because you can't see. If I was to show you my day one photograph where I was hanging, I looked like Tolland Man. Do you remember that guy that was dug up about a million years ago? I looked like a corpse. It was horrendous. And it only took a week, 2 weeks for my face to actually start changing. My chin's deflated slightly and my skin, I had like quite red blotches on my chin and my cheeks. I looked horrific. The free facelift it's given me has been glorious.
Free
and
facelift.
For that reason alone, man, it's been wonderful.
That's awesome. I think in terms of your appearance as well, and also what's inside, stress has got to be the final one for me. And I think in terms of like, we all know that alcohol's a depressant, and yet, but, you know, we still
yeah, we don't
love
think
it.
So do at the time.
No, exactly.
Woo-hoo!
At the time, you're like, great, pour me another one. But it's almost like, again, not the, you know, we know there's the big grand mental health benefits, but the stress, and I think you mentioned earlier, Shazza, and, you know, it's that whole, what time does the bar open? What time can I start drinking? Everyone else is one drink behind. Am I allowed to go to a bar or not? You know, can I drink today? Where am I going to get a drink from? Not like totally, I mean, I sound like an alcoholic saying that. I don't totally mean like that, but it does add a bit of extra complication to your day.
Yeah,
you know, am I going to drive? Am I not going to drive? Or if I can have one more, and then you start to work out.
But
in
it's
your
all
head.
Those crazy internal arguments and not drinking. It just removes that noise. Doesn't
exactly.
It? Simple as that. It stops the arguments in your own head. They just stop.
Exactly.
And it's bliss.
I know. And it is so weird to say that, because I thought I was never going to be the person saying I never thought I'd give up alcohol for a year. But if you can get that mental clarity that it gives you, then you start to think, well, if I can give up alcohol, then really what other changes can I make in my life? And that's when it really starts to get cool.
I didn't think I could do the first weekend. Mm. I didn't think I could do it. But I think once you've jumped in, hold your nose and you won't drown, you will swim. Once you've got that strength, actually, I've done that first weekend, let's go for the second. And it does get a bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does get easier. And even though it would be lovely to say, you know, it's just some brilliant, if you're drawing a graph, which again is rubbish for a podcast, like having the arrow going upwards. But it's not like that.
No.
You know, they talk a lot about the alcohol-free magic. And I was there saying, you know, when's my alcohol-free magic going to happen? Because, yeah. You know, I've given up alcohol, and it's like you look up to the heavens and you're like, hang on, we had a deal here. I'd give up alcohol and you'd make my life amazing. But it doesn't work like that. You still have down days. Crappy things still happen to you. Life does go on, but it gives you that strength to deal with it. And like you say, it does get easier. And you could be there as well saying that I thought I'd never be the person that would stop drinking, but then you can, and it does make life so much better.
So that was the very first episode of Over the Influence, our alcohol-free podcast. Now, it's all very good and well, me and Freddie and Background Ben talking about all this, but we want you to get involved, and please do get in touch. Send us an email at overtheinfluence@soundrebel.co.uk. Tell us what you thought about it. Tell us what you'd like us to discuss. Please do get involved and give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, because this is all about you. We would really love to hear from you.
What we want to do is really reach out and help as many people as possible and really create a community and engage people around it. And much as it'd be lovely, just the three of us talking every episode, we want to get people's questions, people's opinions, anything they're struggling with or need help with. Let's make this all about you. So I think we're going to have a amazing journey.
Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name is Kerry and I'm from Lancashire. And I first started listening to the OTI podcast about 2 years ago, but I've been really looking at wanting to change my daily drinking for a few years and really felt like I needed to change my relationship with alcohol. So I binge listened to the podcasts, which I thought were fantastic, and then heard about the OTI community. So I joined up when I started off doing Sober October. Really, it's been an absolute game changer. The community is just amazing. It picks you up if you're feeling a bit down. The members support you and they celebrate your wins. I really don't think I would have be where I am now if it wasn't for the OTI community. So all I can say is give it a go. What have you got to lose?
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.